This lecture is for Unit 1, Basic Computing Concepts, including History. This is the first unit in Component 4, Introduction to Information and Computer Science. Selecting a computer is difficult. There is not one-size-fits-all best computer out there. Instead, there are many, each designed for a different need. And to complicate matters, there are always new computers being developed, so the best computer for you today may not be the best one for you in 6 months or a year. Often, the newest and fastest computers are the most expensive. Most users find that slightly older and slower computers are a better fit for their budget. Now, before you select a computer, you really have to determine your needs. You have to figure out how many users are going to be using it, and what applications will be used, how much storage you need, if you need mobility or not, and of course, the most important one, what your budget is. Before purchasing a computer, it's important to think about what you really need and how much you're willing to spend. First of all, determine your budget, and you want to select a computer that falls within your price range that fits your needs. And really, really stick to that budget. It's really tempting to get impressed by the newest and greatest and biggest out there that's very expensive. But you really do have to be realistic and figure out what your budget is. And you could find a great computer within your budget. You don't need, a lot of times, you don't need all the bells and whistles of the more expensive ones. And then you have to look at what the requirements are for the applications you need to run. What do you want to do with it? A general home business user will need something very different than a user who plans to play the latest and greatest video games. You'll want to look at your applications to see what the minimum requirements are, but those are always helpful for figuring out what you need because they typically say something that's much more of a minimum requirement than what you'd actually want. You probably want, for example, more memory or a faster processor than the one that's actually listed as a minimum requirement on your software package. You also want to think about how much you want to store in your computer. Do you have a lot of applications? Do you have a lot of data? Do you have a lot of images like photographs and videos? You probably want to get more storage than you'll ever think you'll need because it's amazing how quickly you'll fill up your computer. And the best way to decide what you need once you've figured these out is to actually do some research. Make sure you look at up-to-date reviews and buying guides online and in magazines. You can generally find articles that explain what the current options are for computers and what you might want or need for your particular situation. Now here are some general options for computer systems, and this one is targeted towards a home or business user, and this is of July 2010. If we had a budget of, say, $1,000, and we wanted to buy a desktop, now this doesn't include money to buy a monitor, we could expect to get a dual or quad-core processor. What that means are basically are that there'd be 2 to 4 processors within the computer. We could expect to get 6 to 8 gigabytes of RAM. We expect to get a separate graphics card, which means it'd be the graphics would be handled on a separate card, not within this the processor itself, which basically means your graphics run faster. We can expect to get a 500 gigabyte to 1 terabyte hard drive. We could expect to get a DVD drive with burner, and we'd expect to get whatever the latest operating system is for the system that you buy. So, for example, if you bought a Windows-based machine, you'd expect to get Windows 7. If you're buying a Mac, you would expect to get Mac OS X Snow Leopard version. You could also get some upgrades for more memory, a faster graphics card, or a Blu-ray drive or burner. Now, in terms of which processor you get, because that will be part of the choice, there are some options available. And some quad and 6-core processors are going to be very expensive, so they're not going to actually fall within this price range. But AMD and Intel, who are the two primary makers of chips, have very affordable quad-core processors. Dual-core processors are basically in the low-end desktops, but will suffice for most users. The the faster ones. So, for example, the Intel Core i7 is the fastest desktop CPU. It has quad and six-core chips, and it uses hyper-threading to effectively double the number of processors. Core i5 processors are quad-core with hyper-threading turned off, basically. Core i3 are just dual-core processors. Older versions of their chips are called the Intel Core 2 Quad and Core 2 Duo. Now, for this desktop, you'd probably expect to get something like a Core i5 processor. Now, AMD has a couple of chips as well. Their Phenom 3X4 is its fastest quad core, and the Phenom 2X3 is its triple core Phenom, and its Phenom 2X2 is dual core. The latest iMac has an Intel Core i7 chip. And also, just to make sure that you know, the latest operating systems often need quite a bit of memory. And so, for example, Windows 7 needs at least 1 gigabyte of RAM. So, and you can see here that we easily get that within this budget. But you do want to make sure that that your system that you're getting is going to support whatever the latest operating system is. So there are other options you can consider when you're purchasing a desktop. The first is a case. Most of the time, users don't really care what kind of case they get, but for those that are concerned with space, an all-in-one or a small form factor case may be attractive. Now, the other consideration is a video card. Cheaper computers have integrated video, meaning there isn't a separate video card. This is fine for computers that don't need to run videos. So, for example, if your computer is just going to be used in a business setting where you're going to be doing just word processing or spreadsheets or even an EMR, you probably don't need a separate video card. But if you do want to watch any videos or play any video games, you probably do want a separate card. And the video card may have its own memory, or use shared video RAM, or both. Shared video RAM means that the video card will share the regular computer RAM. This will leave less RAM available for your computer and your other programs. But if you're using really graphic intensive applications, you probably want a video card that uses its own memory without any shared RAM. Other options to consider for a desktop is what monitor you want to purchase to go with your computer. Buying a monitor can be very confusing. There are many relevant specs for a monitor, but vendors often don't really provide what they are. So researching and reading reviews can be very helpful for sorting through all the information. A lot of times the online reviews will have more information about the monitor than you can actually find out by reading the box. There are different types of LCD panel displays, which are the most common monitors today. TN is the cheapest and fastest, but it has the narrowest viewing angle. So if you want a wide viewing angle, meaning you want it to, you know, if you want to use it, you know, for example, to play videos and you want to be able to see it in a room from the side, you probably would want an app for an LCD panel that had a wider viewing angle. VA is stepped up. It has better viewing angles and color, but it's slower, and it's not the overall best for colors. IPS is the most expensive, has the best color reproduction and best viewing angles, but it also has the slowest response times. So there are definitely trade-offs with LCD panels, and probably the best way to figure out if how you like its display, its response time, its color, its viewing angle, is to actually go to a store and look at them yourself and see which ones you prefer. Size could be a personal choice. There's usually available in 20 to 24 inches, but it also may be dictated by your space constraints. There are different aspect ratios available today. The one that the industry is moving towards is 16:9, because that's the same ratio as a high-definition TV, so then the monitor can become more like an HDTV. Brightness is another measure. It is how much a light panel can produce. If you plan to play a lot of games or watch a lot of videos, you probably want to buy a brighter monitor. DVI is the standard connection for your computer for the monitors, for an LCD monitor. But HDMI connections can be used to connect the monitor to a Blu-ray player, video game system, DVR-based HD cable satellite box. HDMI connections are now standard on most monitors. So that what that means is you could actually connect that monitor up to not just your computer, but to some other type of device that you'd want to use to display on the monitor. Some monitors have USB ports, which can be very useful for connecting your keyboard and mouse instead of to the back of your computer. So it just, you know, helps you kind of save on that mess and tangle of your cables. And finally, if you're going to be using your computer a lot at your desk, you probably want to make sure that you have a way to adjust the height of your monitor, because depending on how tall you are, the default or just one, you know, height that the monitor comes at may not be enough for you. You may need to raise it or lower it. So you probably do want to look at something that has an adjustable height. Now the bottom line is that you really just need to test out and view your monitor, you know, for what you want it to do. So you want it to look at it in the store. You probably want to look at it if you plan to watch videos. You probably want to look at monitors that are displaying videos that are, you know, if you want to play video games on it, you probably want to play see one that's, you know, used as a video game. You probably want to see, you know, the height adjustment of it, the brightness, that sort of thing. Now you also may want to consider purchasing a printer for your desktop. And printers range from being very inexpensive to very expensive. And they're also, in that range, is a huge array of needs. So most people won't even need the most expensive printer out there. So for home use, if you're just using it at home, or if you're just using it at your business on your desk and it's just used for one person and you're not going to do a large volume of printing, then inkjets are a good choice. They're inexpensive and you can print in color with them, which provides a very affordable way to do color printing. However, they are slow. And they do, also, they don't last as long as, say, like a laser printer would for the volume of copying that you might want to do. For a network computer at an office, a laser printer is a better choice. It's much faster, it can handle many more print jobs, and it lasts longer than an inkjet based on the number of printed pages. Color laser printers, though, are extremely expensive. So for offices that want color printing and need the laser printer for, you know, the large volume of print jobs, they may choose to buy an inexpensive inkjet to do their occasional color printing, but for their everyday print jobs, they'll just print them black and white on their laser printer. Now, some of you may be interested in all-in-one. Those are very good for a home office. They are a printer, a copier, a scanner, and a fax all in one. So basically, it's a printer that allows you to scan and that connects to a telephone jack for the fax. And now they actually have portable inkjet printers. So for those of you who need to do printing while you're on the run, say a salesperson might need to do some printing of, say, a bid on the go, you can print. Purchase a portable inkjet printer, and they're small, and they're either battery or car charged. Evaluating the right printer for you will involve looking at its specs, and the most important ones are listed here. Resolution is measured in DPI, which is dots per inch. Higher resolution means sharper, more detailed output. If you're printing only text documents, and they're mostly going to be printed in black and white, resolution isn't as important as if you're printing detailed images. So for example, a 600 by 600 DPI means 600 dots across by 600 dots in one square inch. Print speed is measured in pages per minute. It may not be as much of a concern for a home printer where you're just occasionally printing documents that may only be, you know, a couple pages at a time versus a networked office printer. If there are going to be multiple people printing to the computer with large documents that are being printed at once, you can imagine that you really need something that can print faster to accommodate those print jobs. The connectivity is something you also want to consider. If you're just going to be connecting the printer directly to a personal computer, then you would just need a USB connection. If you need to print through a network, then you want to make sure that you have an Ethernet connection. And you can use wireless for network computing, but you can also use it in your home if you have a computer and then you have laptops, and you might want to print wirelessly from a laptop so you don't have to directly connect to the printer. And then the other thing you want to look at is the cost to print. And this is a very important piece of it, because a lot of times when you purchase a printer, you focus very much on the cost of that printer itself. But what you really need to look at is not just how much the printer costs, but how much it's going to cost to run over the given lifespan of the printer. Printer cartridges can be very expensive, so you need to know how many pages you can expect to print before it needs to be changed. So it's possible that a cheaper printer, something that has a list price that's actually cheaper at the beginning, can actually have a higher cost to print over the lifetime of that printer if the printer cartridge is expensive and doesn't print as many pages. But in the long run, it's possible that a printer that's more expensive, the initial price of it is more expensive, but the print cartridge might actually be cheaper and have a cheaper cost to print. So there are some other options for desktops. Depending on what you want to do with your computer, you may opt to add speakers and possibly a subwoofer. Your system may come with basic integrated speakers, and this would be fine if all you were going to be doing was using it for business tasks such as word processing, spreadsheets, even electronic medical record. But if you wanted to watch any videos or do any video games, anything that requires more sound, you probably do want to add some speakers. You can cheaply add two speakers, or you can opt for more advanced systems that include a subwoofer and a number of satellite speakers. And also, you have to get a keyboard and mouse. There are wireless versions of both of these available, and they can reduce the number of cables and make your use more flexible. So, for example, if you're in an exam room in a doctor's office, you can actually have one of those handheld keyboards and mouse units integrated in one and walk around the exam room. You don't have to be tied by a cable. Also, if you are using it at home and you want to watch a movie, for example, on your computer, on the computer's monitor, it's across the room, you can actually use your keyboard and mouse from across the room, and you don't have to be worrying about having a cable that's long enough. But be aware that they are battery powered, so when the battery runs out, they no longer work. So make sure you have spare batteries on hand so that you can always, have a working keyboard and mouse.